broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And a very pleasant good evening to you. We have Larry Grover will be first up with us to talk about the Arnold Schwarzenegger and you know, whether or not this guy is... got a prenup? Is he going to be paying this woman, this nanny? Is he still Arnold Schwarzenegger? Other than all of the stupid jokes that have been coming out about Governator, where are some of these people coming from? What do you think? You think Schwarzenegger has a future? I mean, he can make movies. There's no question about that. He can just be a rank and file run of the mill Hollywood douchebag. There's not a problem with that. This is not going to hurt him there. But whatever it was, he thought he was going to do as a public servant. It's over. And maybe he knows that. We'll also be talking later on in the program with Stephen Bozell on this Judgment Day, supposedly tomorrow, the apocalypse, which asked me if I'm worried about that. You know, however, Mr. Bozell will be on the line with us to discuss that. But first up, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, the story says he paid $65,000 toward a mistress's house. The embattled former California governor reportedly made a $65,000 down payment on a house for his ex-housekeeper Mildred Patty Baena nearly 1 year before he admitted to fathering her child. Schwarzenegger made two separate gift payments, one for $5,000 in 2010 and another $60,000 from his own personal bank account. Nice to have that kind of bread laying around. The down payment covered nearly a quarter of the total purchase price. Property records show that the four-bedroom home in Bakersfield was purchased in June 2010. We're going to get on the line here, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, big-time supporters of the governor down through the years, and now taking a look at what's happened to Governor Schwarzenegger and like I said, the possibility that he doesn't have a political career. Does that alarm you at all, Larry?
Well, I think we have to take a step back and look at what's happened to Governor Schwarzenegger. I don't think that we should rush to judgment on this. I think that he has been, he's been dogged by the press. This is a situation that's come about that obviously involves family time, and he's talked about trying to get together with his family. But I don't think that there's been enough concern for the governor in this respect. He is the governor of the state of California. He is a man that leads the state of California. He's also a man that I think still does have some prospects as on the political scene. But the situation as it presents itself is that right now people think that there's a moral problem with him. I don't think it's a moral problem at all. I think it is. It could be seen as a natural outgrowth of 25 years married to Maria Shriver. Certain sort of social expectations that come with being married to her, as well as the reality of a Maria Shriver. Any man, especially with a woman who has a propensity for a very, she's very thin,
Well, she keeps herself in good shape.
She is a lovely girl, but it becomes something for a man like Schwarzenegger, who is in the bodybuilding world for a long time. He's used to, for the most part, a woman that is going to present an opportunity. And I don't mean that in any bad sense, Phil.
What are you talking about here? I mean, are we talking about his political career?
Well, the first thing I want to do is make your audience aware of the fact that I don't think what he did necessarily marks him as a man to be looked down upon. I think he should be, to the extent that one would do this, pitied.
Pitied why?
Well, again, I go back to the Maria Shriver. If you're married to that woman, any woman, for 25 years, but particularly a woman that is very keen on staying a certain weight, and you have a woman come into the home who's taking care of your children, and she is certainly a different body type, I don't think, and I say this as gingerly as I can, I don't think you say no to that. I think what you do is...
You don't think you say no to that. Now, you're not sounding like the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County here anymore. You're sounding, you know...
No, Phil.
No, you're sounding a little bit like just one of the guys at the bar just talking, you know.
No, I don't. What I'm trying to do is find a way for people to understand what Governor Schwarzenegger did, because I think this is a really... really good, solid man. I think he's a good leader. I think he's a man the country can use. I think he was up against an unbelievable task in the state of California. I think, to coin a phrase, it was a Herculean task that one would, I suppose, expect of a man who is built a little bit like Hercules, or how we imagine Hercules to be put together. But it was nonetheless a very difficult task. I think the governor gave it his best, and I think... I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has learned, and he's learning, and he's coming home at night to Maria and the children, and I'm sure he loves, but you are a man who is expected to work miracles, and you're looking for something at the end of the day, something that you can lose yourself in, and I'm trying to be as... trying to put it the right way.
You're basically painting a portrait here, Larry. You're building the case to excuse this man's infidelity.
I'm not excusing his infidelity from the standpoint of his wife. What I'm trying to do is talk to the potential voter. That's my business is politics. And
you're building a case for the potential voter, then, saying that Arnold Schwarzenegger is, and we've heard this discussion before. We've heard this excuse before. For the heavyweights in life, for the big guys in life, for the people that are under a lot of pressure in life, they have a different. There's a different set of standards they should be judged by. They get to cheat. The rest of us don't.
No, that's not it at all.
Well, then what is it about his situation then? If that's not it, then what are you saying? Because that's what I'm hearing you say.
What I'm saying is, it is a combination of a very high-pressure job, but coming home every night to Maria Shriver, who is a slender young lady and a woman who I dare say some people might consider to be a classic beauty, a model.
Well, I think she did model at one time.
Did she? I did not know that. I know she is from a family of very lovely people, and she's a lovely girl. But I think with the type of body that she had, very, very slender, Schwarzenegger's a bodybuilder. Now you get into your life a nanny who is Hispanic. You saw the pictures of her. And I think that's the other thing. I think more, particularly male voters, but even female voters, need to see the pictures of this woman. And I think once you do, a lot of questions are answered.
And what do you mean? If I look at those pictures and I say, oh, wow, now I understand.
Well, again, I use the phrase, and I perhaps I shouldn't have, but I use the phrase, how do you say no to that? And
how do you say no to that if you're married to Maria Shriver, or how do you say no to that? Because I don't think that woman is all that attractive.
If you're married for 25 years, and let me put it another way, Phil.
I'll give our phone number out here before you do, Larry, okay?
All right.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I guess I'm getting ready for the weekend when our number changes. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Arnold Schwarzenegger married 25 years to Maria Shriver, and suddenly he sees this new nanny. And Larry Grover with us here from Conservatives of Kern County. How do you say no to that? In other words, Maria Shriver is a skinny girl, and here comes a buxom Hispanic woman.
I think that there is... something to be said, yeah.
All right, well, I, and it doesn't matter to you if I say to you personally, I would not, I think Maria Shriver's a more attractive woman.
Well, you haven't been married to her for 25 years, and this is the point that I'm trying to make. You've got a lot of people in your audience tonight who've been married for 25 years, and they come home to a beautiful, they may think she's the most beautiful woman in the world, or the most handsome man, or the most wonderful, loving man in the world, but you come home to the same thing. And it could be a nanny, it could be a maid, it could be a piano teacher for one of the kids. how do you, if it comes into your life or her with a body type that is completely the opposite of what you have been, what you had to lay down next to?
All right, I get what you're saying. This is getting, this is quite uncomfortable for me, and I'll tell you why. Because you're more about the man's taste in physique than you are about the man.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's what it sounds like. You're more about the man's taste in a woman's body than you are about the man.
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm saying you have to understand, after 25 years of marriage to the same woman who is very, very thin and governor of California, which was a series of problems that I don't think anybody could even imagine tackling, and then into his life comes the nanny. She's got a different physical makeup. She's big. And I don't mean big, you know, in any negative sense, but she's a big woman, and he, I would say, and I mean this, he obviously saw the door swing open, and he took advantage of that. And I don't think many men are different. And again, when you look at what you've been married to for 25 years.
Well, you know, this is when you look at what you've been married to for 25 years, as if guys are constantly in a meat market and we're constantly perusing the pork chops, you know.
Well, I don't mean that. I'm just saying from the standpoint of how a man works and is under pressure and the same type of body.
This is all about body, isn't it?
It is about, he loves Maria. I don't think he loves the maid. I think he has used the maid, and I think the maid came out of it with a...
You mean she's a nanny, right?
A nanny. She came out of it with a house. She came out of it with a house. But if you're coming home, again, I have to say, if you're coming home, you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, to the same sort of thin-looking woman, and here comes a new nanny that is big, has got a... Is big, you know.
I understand what you're saying. Are you saying voluptuous?
Yes, voluptuous.
Are you saying Rubenesque? Are you saying sexy?
I'm saying even more than that, because as a bodybuilder, he's used to some big women. And I don't mean big in muscle. I mean they got a lot of the areas that you would want to be big.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Governor Schwarzenegger, a report today says he paid $65,000 toward a mistress's home. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger of California. And certainly states have, other states have had problems with their governors. I'm thinking of Mark Sanford in South Carolina. And there's a few that are slipping my mind. His situation was quite bizarre. This one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Larry Grover feels, after 25 years of being married to a very thin woman like Maria Shriver, the thing is, I don't get what he's saying is, I don't hear anything being commented on in terms of his taste in women as a companion. He's just saying that Maria Shriver was thin, and along came this big, buxom Hispanic nanny, and he says, in Larry's words, you can't say no to that. 877-876-7445. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next hour, it is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. We talk about the supposed rapture that people have been talking about, you know, the end of the world. Rapture is a Christian term. I don't know what that has to do. I guess that's what it is, because this guy is, I believe he's a Christian minister. We're going to talk about that. And if you can tell from the sound of my voice, I'm not too worried about it. You're right. Anyway, by the way, I forgot our affiliate spotlight tonight, bud.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati.
Yeah, WQRT in Cincinnati and WPLZ in Chattanooga, two great stations on our network. We are very, very appreciative of you, of your patronage. Larry,
I
the one area that you and I haven't covered here is the morality of this. This is an immoral thing. It is a it is an unfaithful. It is infidelity. And why do we not? Why don't we talk about that?
Well, I think, Phil, again, you and I have had our disagreements on this. I believe in morality. I believe in the, and I'll go right out and say it. I am a believer in religious values and in the Christian values you just spoke of, and that's why I am saying. That Governor Schwarzenegger was the victim, if you will, Phil, of a very human need to get. When you look at that, and it comes into the house, and
it may be that you're talking about temptation.
Yes, I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about, if you will, the devil.
But that is also something that we have control over. And we can talk all we want about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the women and the, you know, his wife for 25 years and she was skinny and here comes, you know, you can't say no to that. But the fact of the matter remains, yes, you can.
I think, Phil, there are times when no, you can't. And that's what I'm saying. No, you can't say no to it. There are few times and few opportunities in life. Arnold Schwarzenegger may be a different case because he was a movie star. But for the rest of us, how often are you going to get a chance like that? And are you going to say no to it?
And a chance like what?
If you're married to a woman like Maria Shriver, who is a rail thin, and you have a nanny come into the home that looks like what you looked at before the show, right? Because you saw the pictures.
Yes, I did. And I'll tell you again, she's not that attractive.
I'm talking about the average man. You going to say no to that? I don't think you are. And why I say that is because a man will risk committing a viciously filthy sin knowing that God forgives.
So he will walk right into the trap of that sin, if you will, feeling he'll be forgiven.
I believe that is the case, and I will say this just so you know I'm not a hypocrite. That would be my decision.
You would cheat on your wife.
I don't call it that. I call it, this train's never going to come through the station again, is what I call it.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show here on with Larry Grover. Let's take a phone call. We have Vicki on the Phil Hendry Show here. Vicki, go ahead.
So I am just sitting in my car. I had to pull over. I am flabbergasted at this guy. So he is supposed to be representing conservative voters, and he's trying to say that he wants us to look at this and not think badly of Arnold. But he keeps saying, "Oh, it was okay for him to cheat because if you got in front of a woman like this, you would do it too." And he said that. He said, "Are you going to say no? Are you going to say no?" He said that like 3 or 4 times, and thinking, "What an idiot this guy is! I wouldn't want him speaking on my behalf for any reason." He says Arnold's a victim.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, he is. I really feel that, Vicki, that Governor Schwarzenegger, who I can tell you admire him, and I do too. And this is unfortunate for everyone concerned, including. But how often in life does a man get a chance?
And I might be. He's not listening to himself. He sounds
so
ridiculous. So
are you listening to yourself, Larry?
I most certainly am listening to myself, and I'm saying if something like that walks into your house...
I told you already.
I'm not talking about you. You're if you want to call it a celebrity, I mean the average man.
The average man would look at that woman and say, wow, big deal. I don't know what he would think.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what he would think. And Arnold Schwarzenegger saw his... Yes, ma'am?
It's just ridiculous. And he kept saying, well, if you were married 25 years to Maria Shriver, who's a pretty woman, she's lovely, however, she's too skinny, and if a normal woman with a little more meat on her bones came around, well, first of all, they were married 25 years, the child is 13, so he had an affair when, you know, they were 12 years into their marriage. So whether or not it continued or not, the wrong thing for this person, this Larry person to do, if he's trying to keep votes for Arnold or keep Arnold in the positive public eye, is to come out here and talk. He needs to be quiet. I'm a conservative Republican voter. And
yes,
I tell you what, I don't want this guy anywhere around anybody I'm trying to get into office anywhere.
Mary, ma'am, this is Larry Grover, and I appreciate your opinion. I seriously do. But I think we got to get out in front of this. I don't think hiding is going to help. And I think if you sell it to the voter, such as yourself, or, you know,
Larry,
you are not
the representative to be selling this, because you need to take a step back and listen to the recorded playback. You sound ludicrous.
You sound absolutely ridiculous.
My 17-year-old son is sitting in the car with me going, Mom, this guy's an idiot.
All right, we'll be back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry.
Why did you cut her off?
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night, and we have Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, a frequent contributor, talking about the so-called rapture, and I believe I misspoke when I said apocalypse. Those are two different events, and we'll talk about that next hour. With me this hour is Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and the problems that he is facing by his own behavior, Larry, with the nanny, an affair, an infidelity, a child is born. This is terribly devastating to a family.
There's no question about it, Phil, and I'm not trying to say anything other than I think the governor can be rehabilitated from the standpoint of even it, if it is immoral. And you've said, you made this point.
Well, that was my the point that I wanted to get to was the absolute betrayal of a family.
I think that's rough. I was going to say, yes, I believe it was bad, and let's just say it was bad. You want to keep beating into the ground a lot of things that...
I'm not beating anything into the ground. It was bad. And you are saying it was bad, but how are you going to say no to that? And that you're talking about is a woman.
Of course, her name is Ms. Baena. She is. And again, I won't ask you, because you're already got your mind made up to go against anything I'm saying.
No, I'm not going against anything. You say to me, how do I say no to that? I say very easily.
Well, the average man, I think, would... And Arnold Schwarzenegger being married to a real thin woman. And
all right, you've said that over and over. She's too skinny.
Well, yes, but a man who's married to a really skinny woman for 25 years is not going to say no to something that comes into the house. You know, that's got to... How can I say what I want to say without making it sound dirty? I'm saying...
That she's got large breasts, that she is a voluptuous woman, that she is a Latina a hot tamale, I don't know. You know, but...
please, have a little respect, Phil.
Oh, have a little respect. You're the one that has been talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger not being able to say no to it. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let's go to Torrance, California. Here is Catherine. Hi, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes.
First of all, I want to say that your guest there is absolutely reprehensible. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria, they got married in church. He made promises to her that he would love, honor, and cherish her. For him to turn around and get his housekeeper or nanny pregnant at the same time that he got Maria pregnant, if you don't think that that's a moral issue, then your guest needs to have his moral compass checked. I find it very hard. The hypocrites who complained about John Edwards when he got someone pregnant and had a child. Oh, it was absolutely horrible, absolutely horrible. And now they're saying, oh, Arnold, what a man.
That was worse, what John Edwards did.
How is it worse? He lied to his wife for 14 years, and by hiding it, he was lying to California, too. And you must not live in California, because he left this state worse off than when he got elected to California. This state is worse off. And I'm sorry, but he is a total sleaze. He is a complete creep. He completely.
He completely.
You know what? If I was Maria Shriver, the first thing I would do is drop his name and get an
A. Yeah, he just wants to filibuster. You just want a filibuster, don't you, ma'am?
I would. If I was Maria Shriver, I would ask for any kind of decision.
You just don't like
that man.
You just don't. You just don't like his politics. That's why you're saying what you're saying. If it was John Edwards,
you know
it's not a problem. John Edwards cheated on a woman who had cancer.
How does this have anything to do with politics?
Because you're giving John Edwards a pass.
This is the morality of this man. If you do, if you're saying as a conservative that you are so religious, but the promises that you take in front of a priest in a church before God, if they don't mean anything, then you are not religious. Then you have a moral compass problem.
This must have happened to you because.
Well, why are you saying that?
Because she's taking it personal, aren't you?
She's not saying that at all.
Edwards to cheat on a woman who has cancer, Schwarzenegger, who couldn't say no to something. Catherine, you're not a man. That's the problem we're having. You're not a man.
He's not a man because he can't he's being led around by his penis. That's all he is, right? So that must be all he is. If that's all he answers...
For some women, that's enough.
All he is,
He's
not a man. How's that? You know what? Every time someone comes up with a valid argument against what you are saying, all you can do is call people names. Well, I'm sorry. Acceptable.
I didn't call you a name. I said to Arnold Schwarzenegger, how do you say no to that?
How do you turn it on?
And then I said, how come John Edwards gets a pass?
Okay,
his wife had cancer.
All right, we've got the John Edwards thing out of control. Okay?
Are you gonna go into all of the sex scandals that the Republicans have?
She didn't say it was funny.
Humiliated Maria Shriver.
He didn't humiliate her. She should have expected it. She knew it was coming.
In her house? For 14 years, having had Arnold's child when she was married to him, you don't
she
think...
Known when she left
and
that
her
into
saying,
the house.
Oh, we le- I left on good terms. Well, guess what? She ain't on good terms anymore. Because I'm sorry, she lied to her employer. I mean, I'm sorry, but to live
how did
a
she
lie,
lie to the
like
employer?
That, he,
all she did was she had sex with the man. That's not lying to him. The other one... she's working two jobs. She's working as the nanny and a slut to the husband.
All right. And who do you think she had more?
Loyal. Loyal to the other employer, which was the sex
right. And where was Arnold's loyalty to Maria? Where is...
I think he loves her, and to this day, because I know Arnold, he loves her.
Loyalty.
And when that came in,
Are you? Larry. Are you married? And have you? How long have you been married to? And I would probably say to
your wife. How long have I been married to?
She better get herself checked too, because if this is your moral compass, then your wife had better get herself checked for diseases too.
My wife is perfectly fine with it. My wife understands.
Like all real women, she understands. I don't care.
She is okay with me cheating with a woman like that. That's big.
You're saying that you're cheating on your wife.
What are you talking about?
Your wife is absolutely fine about that.
No, she's not. She's only fine if it's with something that looks like that. That's what I was trying to say.
Are you kidding me?
You're trying to say
me?
What?
Did you even hear yourself talking? Do you even hear what you're saying?
Excuse me, you asked me a question, I gave you an answer.
Sorry.
My wife.
Do you even hear yourself?
Well,
you
take
are,
it easy. It sounds like you need a paper bag.
Your morality is, zero.
Ma'am, I'm simply telling you that my wife understands. I don't think she likes it, but she understands if something like that came through the door.
Will you stop talking about that woman, about something like that, and you can't say no to that? That's a woman.
You know, and I'll tell you something. That woman also has a morality problem. Because she came into that household. That was a married couple. She turned around. Maybe,
a married
who
couple
knows
or a married couple? What are you saying? A Mary has an M-A-R-R-Y?
No, married.
M-A-R-R-I-E-D. Married.
No, you said they're all merry and jolly.
They had a commitment to each other. Yes.
All right. I don't know who
made the.
I'm telling you now that my wife is fine. She's not fine, but she understands if someone has got
the middle of a marriage. And she has a morality problem too.
No question about it, Catherine.
Maybe what she wanted was what she got in the end.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for the call.
She got a house out of it. She got a kid out of it.
Exactly.
You'll never stop her.
She does.
It's no question.
Maria Shriver and Arnold will be back together again, and she'll say to him, you know what, Arnold, I understand, and when something like that comes to the back door, how can you say no? And I think that's a question that you need to say.
All right, fine. We got the point. And I think that what you are not doing successfully here is you're not explaining the moral point that I talked about at the beginning. Is this moral? Okay, 877-876-7445, Larry Grover and Phil Hendry here as we discuss Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver and, of course, this nanny that he had the affair with. And again, the fidelity issue, the loyalty issue. You know, I had lunch today with my dear stepdaughter, Catherine, who is now a freshman in college. And we were eating lunch, and she said to me, my generation is going to be so conservative when it comes to marriage because we saw you guys, and she's talking about me and you, Larry, and all of us baby boomers. She said, we saw you guys, and we saw how just not in touch you people are with marriage. And
and you put up with that? I would have slapped her face. And
she's not a 19-year-old woman. I'm not going to slap her in the face, and I happen to agree with her.
You agree with that?
Yes, and especially listening to you, yes, I do. I do agree, and I hope they do go out and make something better of marriage than our generation has. And I think this is one of the reasons why guys like me support gay marriage, because they can't do worse.
You support gay marriage, and yet you call yourself a conservative. This is, to me, these are the real moral problems that we have. And
these are the real moral problems we have, not Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, I can't say no to that.
When she's walking in with a basket of laundry, the thing that I said to
when she's walking in with a basket of what?
Laundry.
When she's walking in with a basket of laundry, I can't say no to that.
Yes, and if you were a man who got out a little more among the real people, you'd understand what I was talking about.
All right, we're going to take a break so I can calm down. Our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, as we discuss with him the Arnold Schwarzenegger infidelity there with his nanny, as well as the state of affairs in his family. And, of course, importantly as well, not more importantly or most importantly, but at least important to Larry, the political future of Governor Schwarzenegger. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
world-famous Phil Henry Show here with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. As we continue to talk with Larry in last segment here about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the affair with the housekeeper, the absolute devastation to his family, the end of his political career. I mean, Larry, you're talking about this like, oh, well, you know, we can pull this fat out of the fire. It's all good. And let's just step back from it. And you know, the governor will be back on his feet. How do you say no to that? I mean, you're using a lot of terms here, and you, again, ignore what the American people will think if the governor decides to get back into the political arena in terms of the moral issue, okay? And we're not talking Hollywood now.
No, I know we're not talking Hollywood, and I know we are talking about the morality. I've tried to address the fact that a man of Arnold Schwarzenegger's standing, not just as governor of California, but already as a very famous man before he came into the possession of the office of governor, that Governor Schwarzenegger is still a man, and only he is a man who is going to make the same decisions any man makes, but it'll be of a higher caliber. So when Schwarzenegger makes the decision that, okay, I'm going for it, it's 12, 13 years into our marriage, and that is something that doesn't come along every day.
Are you talking about this nanny?
Yes, I'm talking about the nanny. You're talking about her like she's something frightening. I think you're just saying that.
And well, what do you think? Do you think she's Angelina Jolie?
No, I don't think she's Angelina Jolie. I think in the eyes of a lot of men, after 25 years with a real thin woman like Maria Shriver, she may be Anna Nicole Smith. And so the governor made a judgment call, and frankly, Phil, if it reflects on the kind of decisions he would make as a governor, which would be, all right, do I stick with the, you know, what I've had, or do I go for it with, you know, some of this prime, meat or, real estate.
And all right, let me take a phone call. 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. Carol, hi, Carol, in Niagara Falls, New York. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Larry, the answer to your question,
how
do I say no to that?
Right.
You grow some integrity. And you think about what you're doing, and you quit listening to your, how old was Arnold when he did this? Was he 18 years old? Was he 16? No, he's a grown man.
No, he was 25 years into a marriage. He was 25 years in it.
He was 12 years into his marriage, and he was no spring chicken, okay?
It beats a man down, is what I'm saying.
What does?
Year in and year out, it'll beat a man down.
Beat a man down.
Yes.
He needs to grow. What is it? What do you want to do? Do you want men? You're trying to make excuses for men to cheat on their wives. Do you want them?
No, I'm not.
Do you want men to become closet polygamists or what? Here.
I don't want men to do anything. I'm saying that if you want to talk about women, I think you need to understand that after 12 years of just having that hammering you into the ground. And
what are you talking about, marriage?
It's some marriages, yes.
What about 12 years of her living with him? Was she getting sick of him yet? Is it all right for her to go out and
ask her?
You know, go for something a little not as much.
They had children.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi, is that Larry Grover, like, still from Sesame Street or something that doesn't know what he's saying? I can't believe it.
Well, at least I'm not in Akron, Ohio.
Actually, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm very, very proud of it. Where are you from?
You're in Akron.
No, I'm not, really.
Yes, you are, yeah.
All right, we've got that settled, okay?
Let me just say what I'd like to say.
Go ahead, Cleveland.
First of all, I really don't care.
I don't like women laughing at me. I don't like women laughing at me. I just...
Okay.
You got issues. You've severe ones.
I got issues. I get issues. What is that?
Issues?
I got issues. You said issues.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Let me continue, okay?
Can I continue?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell us what your issue is.
Issue. I-S-S-U-E. Go get your ears cleaned. You're probably too busy looking at TNA all the time. Good Lord. What I was going to say was I really don't care what politicians do in their sex lives. I don't. It's none of our business. But I have an issue with Larry's saying and how he is perceiving women in marriage and relationships.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been married, Larry?
I would say the following thing.
How long have you been married?
12 years.
12 years?
I'm not married.
Oh, that's why you're being such a pig about it, right?
I tell you what.
You don't even know what
a married is. If you'll tell me how much you weigh. Okay, ready, set, tell the truth. How much do you weigh, and I'll tell you how many years I've been married. One,
I weigh
162
pounds. That's what I weigh.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Kathy, for your perspective. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Larry, I appreciate you being with us.
Well, that woman's got some nerve, 160 pounds.
I thought that's something you can't say no to.
Phil Henry.
I forgot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Their news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, baby. And we are here each and every night for you. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Why is that? Because we go to some pretty weird places. Together, we go to those weird places. And I'm looking at the military channel right now. You see that, bud? That is the Marine Corps raising the flag over Iwo Jima.
Oh, that's the one.
Yes, that's the one. Bud keeps asking, which is that flag-raising one? There it is. Welcome to the show. And again, this is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhenryshow.com. And last night, you know, we had all kinds of problems with our Internet service. The Internet server just crashed that provides our video feed. But tonight we are on our video cast, as we are every night, Phil TV in HD. Get over there, get yourself a backstage pass. Not only do you watch the video cast of the 5-day video archive, you have archives that go back 12, 13, 14 years of our audio, every single show that we did from 1999 on and some before. We have a daily podcast of this radio show. We have our classic Phil podcast. We have our blogs. We have our news feed. And we have other legacy material that has been archived as well, both video and audio. So check it out, philhenryshow.com. We're very proud of that site, and we're proud of it for a couple of reasons. One being, we don't think there's another radio site for a radio show anywhere in the world quite like it. Thank you.
Hey.
Thanks. All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and that's that drinking game I told you. We have two numbers. We have one during the week, and then when we do our local show in Los Angeles on Saturday night, we go to another number.
Yeah, do it, the local one.
The local number starts out 800. The national number starts out 877, and that's probably what screws me up, because you would think that the local number, well, never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Well, tomorrow is a day that has been highlighted by this man. I don't know what this guy is. Mr. Harold Camping and his followers are predicting that tomorrow, the 21st, is the the rapture, the end of the end times, whatever the hell they call it. It's highly religious and therefore specific to the Christian faith. According to this article in the New York Times, if Harold Camping and his followers are correct, Gertrude Stein's famous comment about Oakland, that there is no there there. I bet you didn't know that Gertrude Stein said that about Oakland. You probably didn't know Gertrude Stein said that about anybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, it might finally be true. If not, some local churchgoers say they'll set up encampments outside the headquarters of Mr. Camping, the self-proclaimed biblical soothsayer who has prophesied the end of the world on Saturday with an eye toward consoling the disappointed. In a state where fringe leaders like the Reverend Jim Jones and fringe groups, the Heaven's Gate cult, have often found followers and whose beliefs end in mass suicide, not everyone is laughing about the prediction. One thing about the goofy guys that are out here, the followers they collect are from the Midwest. All right. Well, that's true, man. All right, let me get on the phone here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Steve is a construction contractor. He also comments on a variety of news events for us here on the program. Steve, this is an event that has been predicted by this man, and this is a guy, like many people that have come before him, a guy who some people are taking seriously.
Well, Phil, I am a believer myself. I'm a Christian, and Mr. Camping has made this prediction, and there have been others, as you mentioned, that have been made. We had a great many millennium predictions. We had the loose prophet predictions back in the turn of the century here, the millennium. And, of course, there were people who thought there would be a Y2K bug and so on. That's not really a religious, although there were some who thought that that was part of the end time. This is a situation that's a little bit different. This is a man who's a former civil engineer. He had built a little radio empire there for a while. He had a single radio station and then eventually bought 200 stations and a couple of television stations. And he made around $34 million in investments, got about $56 million in assets, about $29 million in mortgages. And so this is a man who has a lot, you know.
And he's also 89 years old.
And so, what does that mean?
Well, it means something that I've said a lot on my show, that old men are particularly...
I've heard you say that old guys are the ones that always predict the end of the world.
Yeah, the old guys always do predict the end of the world, and the reason why I say that is because I think it's the vanity of growing old that you think since your life is coming to an end, the entire civilization is coming to an end. I think it's symptomatic of growing old that some sort of lose their wits a little bit and think that their lives are ending and so the world's coming to an end.
Well, I think that's a little bit presumptuous. This is a man, Mr. Camping, has used these resources I mentioned. He's bought billboards in space. And he's got millions of pamphlets. I read one of them that does, in fact, warn of the doomsday and explains his mathematical calculation that he picked out May 21, 2011.
All right, tell me how he came to that date.
Okay, it's a complex formula. It involves the biblical flood that was survived by Noah, and then a 7,000-year clock, if you will, ticking from the moment that the biblical flood was the biblical flood was survived by Noah. Then the 7,000-year clock is ticking, and then you subtract the subtraction of a year due to a difference between the Old Testament and New Testament calendars. Now
this is a guy who has done his math before, is my understanding.
Well, no, he hasn't. The press has reported that his math has been flawed.
Did he not predict the end of the world in 1994?
No, he did not predict the end of the world in 1994. He said it was a possibility of a cataclysmic event, but that was not. But this time around, he says we are just a few days. And that's the part that scares me. That the government.
Are you worried? Do you believe tomorrow's the end?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And all right, I don't want to worry you any more than you are.
I'm only worried because it comes up on you very quick, and boy.
My understanding was, and I spoke with Jason and with Bud, and they both said that your concern is that the government has somehow made a joke out of this whole thing.
The Center for Disease Control had, I think, done something that was just below the lowest. It's the lowest I've ever known. When they came out with a some sort of a joke, they said, pamphlet or booklet on how to survive hurricane season, and they made it about the invasion of so-called zombies or the dead. Now, the rapture, those of us who believe in it know that the rapture, part of the rapture, is that the dead will rise and the dead will walk again. Well, mister, the last thing you want to do with anyone who is believing in the rapture of the dead coming again is to be talking about...
Are you all right?
The last thing you want to do...
I mean, do you want to take a drink of water or something?
No, sir, I'm all right. The last thing you want to do is talk about, you know, a dead man coming up and walking around. And that's what they did at the Center of Disease Control. And that's what some of us believe this time tomorrow will be happening. That we will have been drawn to heaven. The dead will rise.
And when you say we, you mean you and those that are saved?
Yes, sir. And then the apocalypse will happen.
The apocalypse?
The apocalypse will happen, and that's when the world is then ended. So, in those steps.
You know, it's funny. I saw a movie called The Rapture with Mimi Rogers. It was actually a very good movie.
Well, this ain't no movie, I can tell you that.
No, I know that, but I'm looking back on that movie, and I realize that that's they did it quite accurately. There were people that were gone, and then the rest of the people were just running around on Earth trying to figure out what was happening, and these four horsemen...
Yeah, those are the four horsemen of apocalypse that will come down, and they are... There's death, there's famine, there's two or three more. Here's the thing that I feel... I am concerned that the government has made a joke out of something that I believe is going to happen.
And all right, I got to jump in and ask you a question here. I also want to give a number out for our listeners out there tonight, because I'm sure that there's some conversation to be had here. Our number is 877-876-7445. I feel almost like a movie of the week type talk show host that they always show before some major earthquake or, you know, oh, I'm sure it can't happen, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, that could very well be you. I mean, you could be the one that everybody's, you know, laughs, and they look, you know, look at how stupid he looks, talking like a smartass. And I'm not saying you are a smartass.
I don't think I've been a smartass. I think I'm being polite. Okay.
I understand that, but you're still a non-believer, and so you have to. There's no choice but for you. You must go to hell, and that's what I believe, and I know you don't.
All right, Steve, I will accept that you believe that. Excuse me if I don't accept it myself, but I'll accept that you believe that. I want to be clear about something here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
At what time of the day?
Is the rapture going to take place?
Yes, sir.
I believe in the early evening.
In the early evening?
Yes, sir.
And that's tomorrow?
Yes, sir. And the thing that also irritates me and irritates other Christians is to hear people like you, Mr. Henry, go, and that's tomorrow. Like, you don't care?
And I can't. If you want me to work up a bad case of the nervous fits, I can't do it, you know?
Well, it insults me, because you have to understand, this is the rapture. And it should be scaring you to death. And you're on your show now, let's take a commercial break. And I'm
sorry, sir. I can't get wound up about it.
This is going to happen, Mr. Henry. This is going to happen.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do.
No, I'm not going to do some stupid thing like, can I have your house?
No. But I do want you back on my show on Monday night if it doesn't happen.
Well, it will happen, so...
All right, it will happen, so you won't be on any radio show.
No, there won't be any radio show.
Okay, there won't be any radio show. But will you just, for fun, say that you'll be on my show Monday night?
I won't say that, because I believe that the rapture's coming tomorrow.
So you can't even say to me, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call your house Monday night.
You can't call my house Monday night.
All right, so I shouldn't even have said anything.
That's right.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445. The government should have taken this more seriously.
The government had a golden opportunity to help those of us who believe that this event's going to take place, and they blew it.
I'm going to come back and ask you what the government should have said, Steve, and what the pamphlet should have said instead of the zombie invasion. Because if this is the rapture, and if there is a very specific protocol, the saved are taken to heaven, and the dead will rise, and then the end of the world comes, I don't know that there's much the government could have done in terms of preparedness for something like that. Your feelings, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here with me and Stephen Bozell. We're talking about the prediction by Harold Camping. Mr. Camping, the owner of a great many Christian radio stations, himself, I'm sure, I don't know if he's an ordained minister or not, but I would imagine he's steeped in his religion, and he has predicted, using a biblical formula, 7,000 years from the end of the Great Flood, the flood that that Noah and his family and the animals on the ark survived, 7,000 years from the end of that, and I think eliminating or subtracting a year, right, Steve?
That is correct, between Old and New Testament.
And so he has come up with tomorrow. I that's as specific as it gets. You have said, sir, that there's no way that this is not going to happen. You believe it's going to happen. You don't even want to consider the possibility that it won't happen.
Well, I will only say this to you, that I have been put through a lot, as all of us believers have, as we wait for this day to arrive, Mr. Henry. And if for whatever reason it does not happen, then we have a problem, because there's going to be a lawsuit. And I will file that lawsuit against anyone that was laughing or making me look like a fool in front of my family.
And anyone that was laughing.
Well, sir, I am not a cynic. Any reasonable person, in my opinion, would believe the same thing that I'm believing, and cynics... this is a reasonable thing, okay? Mr. Camping owns Christian radio stations. He's an authority. And this cynical age we live in, it's time for us to get a little bit of payback on a cynic. And anyone who, and I've been mocked.
Well, Noah was mocked. Noah was laughed at. Can't you look at it that way?
Noah was mocked and Noah was laughed at. Yes, sir. Yes, he was.
Well, can't you look at it that way? Can't you be Noah?
No, I can't. Only God... Noah was beloved of God, but Noah did not have the court system that we have. He did not have the opportunity to sue.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we speak of the potential rapture tomorrow here on the Phil Henry Show, let me go over to Mark in Ontario, California. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just want to say this group of lunatics, they're not Christians. People are calling them Christians. They're not Christians. They're lunatics. Because the Bible makes it quite clear, no one knows the day or the hour. We know the season, we are in that season, but it's not the day or no one knows the day or the hour. And these are not Christians. And that great earthquake that they're talking about, that great earthquake is talked about in the Bible. That's at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ physically comes back to Jerusalem, sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, and mountains are leveled. The whole earth is shaken to its core. That's the earthquake that the Bible talks about. These are not Christians. They're lunatics.
Well, you could call Mr. Camping a lunatic, sir, but he is steeped in the religion. He's like I say, he's a prime voice in the religious and Christian community. He has studied the Bible, I dare say, at least as much as you have. And when you say no one knows the date or the time, but they know the season, well, we're in the season, aren't we?
Well, they're talking about the day. No one knows the day or the hour. And the test of a prophet is in Deuteronomy 19. If someone says something and it doesn't come true, the scriptures in Deuteronomy 19 says they should be put to death. Not one chance do they get of misrepresenting the scriptures. They should be put to death. And that's exactly what the scriptures say.
That's Old Testament. That as Christians, you know as well as I do, we don't take Old Testament. Old Testament, that's old. And we don't do the new.
The Word of God. The Word of God.
Yeah, but we're not Jews. We're Christians. And the Jews, that's their Bible. But we got the new one. And so
Jesus is a fulfillment of the Old Testament.
Right.
Jesus fulfilled the law.
But he said, Jesus said, I've come with a new law and a new commandment, which was love thy neighbor as thyself and love God. Now, so the old, with all that stuff about, you know,
laying down with another man?
Well, that...
Okay, I mean, that's what we're talking about. And a lot of Christians will say, well, you know, look at that.
Well, you know, yeah, I do believe that, but I don't... But this guy's... What you're selling today, son, I ain't buying. You know?
Well,
you know what?
I think what you've said, Mark, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you have your scripture, and you are speaking from experience as a Christian, having read the Bible. Why don't you want to believe that?
What, putting a man to death because he, the prediction? What about John the Baptist?
He got his head cut off, and he wasn't wrong either. All right, listen, Mark, thank you. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll go over to Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, I'm saying I've been studying the Bible. I was recently baptized, you know, as early as this December. And, you know, the group, you know, that I study with, it's in a Baptist church. And, well, you know, the understanding is that it's not pinpointed to an actual date. And how, you know, and because I don't necessarily believe that, am I going to hell? Is that you know, what you're saying, basically? Like, you know, I do believe that I've been saved.
You got to be ready because I
accepted, you know, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah, it ain't good enough. You're going to have to.
What do you mean it ain't good enough?
You got to do more.
All right, hold on, Joe. Hold on, because I don't want to leave you hanging there. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL with Steve Bozell.
That ain't good enough.
Phil Hendry.
Probably going to burn.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here this hour, talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, about the so-called rapture. I know, Steve, you are a believer that this is going to take place tomorrow. It's interesting how... this guy, Mr. Camping, he's a radio station owner. He is a man, obviously a devout Christian, I would guess. I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. He has these small nonprofit radio stations, and he has made this prediction that is sort of, if anything's gone viral, this had. Why should I believe this guy?
I think you believe Mr. Camping, Phil, in much the same way that we've given our trust in all of the many years that I've done to people who have, you know, on the radio. And he's a broadcaster. I think, you know, he's on a radio, and he's talked about all of the things that are going to happen. For a long time, I listened to Dr. Laura. I know she's a Jew, but she has been, not in terms of Christianity, although I think she is a Christian, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think she's devoutly Jewish.
I don't know, but even if she is, I think she knows what she means. And also, if you want to talk about Glenn Beck or any of the people that are reliable and have told us what's going to happen, and the same thing with Harold Camping. And
well, I don't know, you know, about Glenn Beck or Dr. Laura, what they've said, but obviously, if you have some confidence in them, I'm trying to look at this from the standpoint of a believer in God. I was raised Catholic.
That is technically not really Christian. you know?
All right, well, that's fine. And I've had that argument before with people. I don't want to have the argument with you. Nonetheless, you know, I believe in life, not death. I believe in building life and encouraging life and not the other way around. I believe in being a good citizen and a member of my community. But if something that is beyond my control, something of a, if you'll pardon me for saying this, supernatural nature takes place tomorrow, there's not a whole heck of a lot I can do.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Henry. Yes, there is. You can give it over and give it up. And the first time that I heard someone say to me, give it up, you know, to Jesus, I didn't like the terminology because it sounded like I was, it sounded in a lot of ways like I was somebody's punk.
You were what?
I'm sorry.
Take your time.
It sounded like when they first said to me to give it on over, I was being someone's yard punk.
Being someone's yard punk how?
In giving it over to Jesus. And then I knew what they meant. And boy, it's not too long off now, and everything I'm looking at, every way that I've been in my life, and I think about it, think about it some more. And I can't believe that it's here. And I'm just telling you, Mr. Henry, and everybody in your audience, that you should be ready. And I'm very sorry that the U.S. government did not take the opportunity to at least take it seriously, and instead they did a zombie book, or I don't know what they did. They did some boogeyman advertisement.
It was a book on zombies, and it had to do with promoting hurricane preparedness, which is, you know, in my opinion, and only my opinion, really the bigger threat for this forthcoming season, not the rapture. But that's just me. 877-876-7445. Here is Joe back in Manhattan in New York City. Now, Joe, you were saying you have recently converted, you have recently been saved, you have recently begun your Bible study, and you feel that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're a good man.
My thing is,
correct?
I've given my life to Christ. You know, I live for mm-hmm. Jesus. I've given it up the way he's describing. So, but in the Bible study that I've done, and the preparedness that I have for this life, I'm ready for this any day. It's an any day thing to happen. When the rapture does come, whenever anything happens, the step that I've taken to save myself is that I've given myself to, you know, to be led by my Lord and Savior to what I believe is, you know, the promised, you know, heaven.
Okay.
Or the afterlife.
This is Steve Bozell. Okay, now, I hear what you're saying, but are you... You know, because if it doesn't happen tomorrow, I am prepared to sue a lot of people that were laughing at me.
I mean,
well, it sounds to me
you're like trying. You're not doing it for Christ if you're going to sue people. That's what I don't understand.
No. Well, in a lot of ways, I am. Because here's why: if I'm just like you, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I happen to believe that tomorrow will be the rapture. And if for whatever reason I'm wrong, or Dr. Camping is wrong, I've been laughed at, and I've been made fun of, and people have told me all kinds, you know, gay, you're gay, all that. And why can't I sue? And that's what I'm asking, if you would join me in a class action lawsuit
and
against people who laughed at us.
I'm not looking for monetary gain by this. My
right.
heart is with Jesus. My heart is that God, you know, believes in his people, and I am the children of God. You know,
right.
I don't. Whenever it is. You know, but I'm blessed every single day that I'm able to live yet another day and serve Him.
You understand? Don't people laugh at you and go, ha ha? You know,
I've been laughed at.
All,
you know, I mean, I don't know, man.
Christian,
I don't feel.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to ask a question here, Joe. Yeah, I want to ask Steve a question. What do you mean laughed at?
You know what I mean. I mean, all these cynical people are saying, "Oh yeah, the rapture. Yeah, sure." You know, you better get your hair combed, because by the time they get done sucking you up to heaven, your hair will be mussed. And it's ridiculous thing.
There's about 300 kids online to see Lady Gaga at SNL tonight. And
uh-huh.
they don't even have the chance of getting a ticket because there's only maybe standby. And there's people going there laughing at them all night long. They've been there since Tuesday. There's people going and evangelizing to them and preaching to them how they're going to hell for worshiping this person. When in fact, it's just, you know, something. I mean, people get laughed at all the time for all kind of beliefs or things that they want to, you know, stand behind, whatever cause. You know, but
well,
if you believe in your Savior, Your belief in your Savior is something that you have, you know, your conviction about it.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. You said they shouldn't be laughing about being punked. You said something about being punked.
Remember when you said you gave it over to Jesus? I felt like I was some punk, you know, on the yard.
I'm not judging you, and I everybody has their past and have experiences.
Yeah, okay.
But that's almost a prison mentality that you're describing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
We're not in prison.
We're
going to give it over.
If you've given your life wherever you are in the world,
right.
even for those brothers and sisters incarcerated right now, even them, when they've given their life to Christ, they're expressing freedom.
Guys, come on, give it over. What am I giving over now? A pack of cigarettes or something else?
Oh, come on. I mean, this is a gentleman here. Joe's telling you, to him, that meant giving his life to Jesus. Joe, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Right away, you get told, can you give it over to Jesus? And you're thinking about being inside?
Mr. Henry, you know, old habits die hard. And
so the minute a guy came up to you and said, will you give it over to Jesus, you were thinking about being punk raped or something.
Hey, I didn't say that, but...
Well, you're thinking it.
Okay, but I'm not like that no more. And you're the one, you can't... See, you're the one that's not the believer. I am. You're the one that ought to be sweating bullets, because tomorrow night comes, you know, don't let the sun go down on you.
Yeah, 877-876-PHIL. I ain't really much sweating it. I'm sorry. Here is Amanda in Detroit listening on WDTW. Amanda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. One thing I'm wondering is about, you're saying that you are listening to this Harold camping guy because he is a part of a Christian radio station with the head of...
Yes, ma'am.
I've never listened
to him.
Yes, ma'am. But you're saying that's pretty much justifying your point as to why you should believe him when, really, if you're talking about the same Bible that I am, it does state that no one, no man, nor angel... Not even the Son of God will know, only the Father. And if you believe that he is coming, why would you not believe in your Lord as opposed to a man in your radio?
Well, see, here's the thing. The radio station, and when you hear it, and all the talk stations that I've heard, and you too, they're pretty well authority on a lot of things. Now, I'm not saying everything. And then the other thing is, okay, I know you can't predict the day, but what if he's just saying, because it is the season, what if he's taking a lucky guess? You know,
well, the thing
a lucky
is, that's
guess.
This has been going on since my I'm 21 years old. This has been going on since my great grandparents and before them.
That's the truth.
And
yeah, yeah.
I mean,
what do you mean?
I don't.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's been going on since your great grandparents?
The signs, if you want to call it, the signs, the happenings, the leading up to the rapture.
Yeah, exactly. So if this guy camping, who I wouldn't know if I tripped over him in a street, but they tell me he's good, if this guy camping threw the dice and it comes up 7-Eleven, I want to have money on this number. He might really think he knows what he's talking about,
but there's children crying right now, you know, not wanting to go to bed because of this.
I know.
There's people that have already committed suicide, so I've heard. Like,
right.
That's on them. But it's just the fact that this man is scaring these people. And if no, I just want to get set and ready.
And in case they do pick me up, I want to have, you know, everything set to go. And if they don't, then someone's going to get sued. Oh, man.
I almost
hope they don't take me up so I can get the lawsuits rolling because, oh, baby.
You sound almost vindictive.
Well, if it doesn't happen, someone's been lying to me.
Well,
but
you know something?
Like, he's lying to millions of people.
Yeah.
He's lying to millions of people. If no one's going to know when the time is really going to come, then how can you just believe some man that predicted this in 94 when I was 4 years old? Thank God I didn't know about it because he told me about it.
Well, you know something? People have been predicting the end of the world for as long as I've been alive. I remember, and I've got a very vivid memory of going to the Coliseum as a kid for a football game, and a guy standing on the corner while the crowd is going into the stadium with a bullhorn and a sign saying, repent, repent, the end is nigh, you know?
Yeah, well, that's it. It is. How long ago was that?
In the early 60s.
Okay, that's in God years, that's like 5 seconds.
In God years?
Yeah.
Okay, Amanda, thank you very much.
Oh, I see. So I'm getting blown off. All right,
thank
so
you.
You're going to embarrass me in front of her.
Thank you very much, Amanda. I'm not embarrassing you in front of her. And
thank
I'm not,
you very much. You
yes,
have a good day.
Thank you, Amanda. I'm not embarrassing you in front of her.
Well, she's embarrassing. You embarrassed me in front of this young lady.
No, I did not. Thank you very much, Amanda. What I said was that we got... Yeah, thank you.
No, you're blowing me off and talking to her. And I went and I made a point. You're all like, yeah, thanks a lot. Anyway, Amanda, what's your phone number? God.
I didn't say anything of the sort. You know it, and I know it, and Amanda knows it. 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell with us, as we've had an opportunity here to talk with Steve. He is a stone believer that tomorrow is Rapture Day, and not really knowing the specifics about the rapture myself, I've been hearing people this hour say that it is biblically, it's unsound to predict a date or a time, maybe, maybe not. Mr. Bozell is with us, and he has, as he says, he has gotten himself ready. He is going to sue if there isn't a rapture, but it's not going to be Harold Camping. It's going to be the people that mocked him and laughed at him. And essentially, I said to him, you know, well, didn't they laugh and mock Noah? And he said Noah, you know, didn't have a superior courts to go to sue people. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show next hour. It's our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, and broadcasting every night from the El Pacifico. And if you've joined us online at philhendryshow.com, you can see right behind me the beautiful Pacific Ocean here, where we're located each and every night broadcasting this show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, right here on the western edge of this grand United States of America. With me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, a man who believes that tomorrow will be beginning of the end times. The rapture will take place, as predicted by Mr. Harold Camping. Mr. Camping, the owner of a number of religious radio stations. And we're going to get back to some phone calls, but I have to tell you, Steve, I have to laugh when I hear that the guy that's made this prediction owns radio stations. You thought it was a sign of, you know, gave you some confidence. But the fact that the guy owns radio stations, religious radio stations in particular, just put a smile on my face.
Why is that?
I've been in this business for so long, and I've seen these alleged Christian broadcasters. They're every bit as money-grubbing as anybody else. I mean, this guy's 89 years old, you know. And
well, so he's 89 years old, so what? I mean, that right there should tell you that he's made his money in his life, and now he wants to do the thing He wants to do the thing that is going to be the thing that he would do to
he wants to do what, the ultimate thing in his life?
Yes, sir, the ultimate thing, which is to warn people that the rapture's coming, and you know, Katie, bar the door. You better batten down the hatches. And to think that my whole life I prepared myself for this as a Christian, and I've been laughed at, and I've been pointed at, and I've been giggled toward, and As I've trod these steps, you know, Mr. Henry, there's a song called "I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now." I don't know if you know that song, but the song is about a man saying, "I don't care. They can show me all of the money in the world. They can show me the gold and everything, but I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." But it's not quite true for me. I would take a little something for myself, and that's if I could sue, and I mean sue. Oh, baby, I want to sue. People had laughed at me.
Does that mean you want the rapture not to happen so you can sue them?
That's my temptation. That's the devil talking.
The devil telling you, let's not have a rapture, let's have a lawsuit.
No, it's the devil saying, let's not have a rapture, but I think it is just for me to want to just sue people. I want to sue people right into the earth.
as if they're a permanent part of the permafrost.
877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show. That sounds very vindictive. Doesn't sound religious at all. Here is Heather in Pennsylvania. Hi, Heather. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover. Steve Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my comment was that no man can know the day nor the hour. So
right.
You can pretty much guarantee it's not going to happen tomorrow. If you do believe in God and you believe in his word, the Bible says you cannot know the day. So this could be the end times. It might be soon. It might not be for another 50 years. And all you need to know is to be ready for it, but you cannot know the day or the hour. And you can't go around suing people that laugh at you.
Let me ask you this question, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying then means that when it occurs, it has to occur on a day that no man on earth predicted it would. It has to occur on a day that no one said to another person, it's going to happen on such and such a day. Now, how's that possible? With all the Christians that we have in this world, there's always somebody predicting when it's going to happen.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm saying, if the end time comes, if the rapture comes on a day, how do they know it's going to be a day that no one predicted it would be on a day? God, please let me explain it. On a day that it would happen on, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm asking the lady. How does she know it wouldn't happen on a day that would happen? You see?
Because the Bible says no man can know the day nor the hour. So if you're claiming that you know, you're wrong. Because Scripture is infallible, that would mean that the Word of God is false.
So when the rapture occurs, it'll be on a day that no man said he knew on that day it would be. Now, you took an issue with me when I said I want to sue. The reason why I want to sue is because if the rapture don't happen, and I've gotten already and prepped up just as you have as a Christian, and now the rapture don't happen, and I got more of these monkeys laughing at me than ever before. Don't you think, man?
What's going through your mind then, Steve?
I am humiliated. I've been made to look like a fool.
But you can't sue people for that. If you want to go around saying crazy things like that, you can even go around and insist that pigs fly. If people laugh at you, you can't turn around and sue them.
You know that saying pigs fly or that the rapture is, those are two totally different things. I mean, pigs flying, yeah, right. But the rapture, that is going to happen. Maybe not on the day that I said. Okay.
But what she's saying is if you go around saying stuff that people are not accustomed to hearing, they are going to look at you funny. You know?
Look at me funny.
And if they laugh at you, so what? You can't sue people because they laugh at you. And even Christ said in the Bible, you will be laughed at, mocked at, scorned. You will be persecuted for my sake. If you choose to believe in him, he's told us, he told the disciples, you will be
persecuted. But he didn't say don't sue. Right, but he didn't say don't sue.
I think the Bible says that the Lord...
Phil Henry.
If you can sue, go ahead and do that.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock here on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back to the program. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And as usual, going places where their talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Marching over the softened heads of those that would hold us back and open the trap door to dumb. Yes, the trap door to dumb. We don't fall through that one much. Anyway, welcome back. And our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. So join us over there for our live streaming video of the show, which we have right now, broadcasting here from in front of the El Pacifico. And we also have our five-day video archive, our archives of audio files, our daily podcast. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. The backstage pass, the greatest value in entertainment history. All right. This is the 55th anniversary of something. You know what it is, Robert?
55. I'll say it ain't your birthday.
No, I'm a little bit older than that.
The 55th anniversary of the bombed Hiroshima.
wrong. Thought you were going to sneak a look, huh?
Well,
yeah, I told you, didn't I?
I told you he was going to look.
I told you not to look, okay?
I thought it is Hiroshima, ain't it?
No, it's not. No, it is not Hiroshima. Excuse me. It's the 55th anniversary of the United States dropping the first airborne hydrogen bomb on the Bikini Atoll in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
The Bikini Atoll. That was the name of. Well, you know what an atoll is?
Yeah. You don't pay the charge.
Yeah. Atoll, you don't pay the charge. Atoll, it's a small, little, itsy-bitsy, tiny, eeny, teeny-weeny island, man. It don't even qualify to be called an island. See the islands behind me here at the El Pacifico?
Yeah.
See right over here? Behind me is Anacapa. Where is it? There. And then on the other side of me is Santa Rosa. Those are real islands. This is an atoll. It's a little tiny island. Well, 55 years ago, which would make it 1956, the very first, am I right about that? 56? Yeah. The very first atomic bomb, very first hydrogen bomb, airborne hydrogen bomb, was dropped. Now, the reason why they're making this distinction is because we had a plutonium and uranium bomb that we dropped on Japan at the end of World War II. When we began testing other bombs with other elements. And the element that we used then was the hydrogen atom. We didn't use the uranium or the plutonium atom.
What did I do that for?
I suppose because the atom was easier to split. Maybe it was a stable atom, but it was an easier atom to work with. I don't know. Maybe it was more powerful. It's an enormously, or at least up to that point, it was an enormously powerful bomb, the hydrogen bomb. Now, the test was a success. It symbolized a huge leap in the nuclear arms race, the United States leaping ahead of Russia, which had gotten the atomic bomb and had developed it in the early 1950s.
Yeah, that's how I count on those two people.
Well, that's a load of horse. You mean the Rosenbergs?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? He asked me.
Whatever he said.
Shut up.
No, but really, one of them people sold that secret to the Russians.
Well, you know, they say that they sold a secret to the Russians. Let me just be honest with you here. I'm going to ask you as an intelligent man, quote unquote. What are the odds the Russians weren't going to figure out how to split the atom? Are you kidding me or something? They had scientists working on that day and night. And the idea that it was some big secret, that cracks me up. First of all, the Russians beat us to Berlin. Now, guess where they went when they went to Berlin?
I don't know. They went and got Hitler's head.
They got Hitler's head, yeah, they got all kinds of stuff. The other place they went in Berlin was the center, the scientific center, where they were doing all of their nuclear testing, where the Germans, and thank God they didn't get the bomb, or there would have been hell to pay. But the Nazis were developing an atomic bomb, and Stalin made a beeline, baby. Boo! Beeline! To where that research was being done. As a matter of fact, as the story goes, Stalin was looking at a map of Berlin. He was standing there with his top generals. He knew that his forces were at the doorstep of Berlin and were ready to break through and eventually go into the chancellery, and that was going to be the end of the war. And he circled a sector in Berlin where the scientific experiments and much of the scientific research had been done on the atomic bomb. He circled it, and he mouthed the word gold, meaning go get it.
Well, did he find a bomb there?
They didn't find a bomb, but they effectively went in and grabbed all the research that the Germans have been doing on the atomic bomb. I don't think, and I'm just, you call me nuts, but I do not believe for one second that even if the Rosenbergs had not been passing whatever, quote, secrets, and since when is math a secret, you know?
Well, but we knew how to break, see, we knew how to do it.
What do you mean we knew how to do it? They're going to figure it out too, okay?
Yeah, but why make it easy for them?
Oh, get out of here. The fact is that even without the passing of secrets, those guys eventually were. But look, all's well that ends well, man. Because guess what happened? All the money and all the time and all the effort and all the everything that the Russians and the Soviets put into all of that stuff, the military, the development of these weapons, the expansion of the great grand communist empire, I mean, they couldn't support it. Their economy, their way of life was not it was never, ever going to be able to compete with ours. It was a losing race from the beginning. I wish we would have known that, or we would have recognized that. We probably wouldn't have spent as much money as we did. According to the History Channel, people who witnessed the test, this hydrogen bomb that landed on the Bikini Atoll, remarked the resulting fireball measured at least 4 miles in diameter and was brighter than the light from 500 suns. How would they know that? Because in certain hallucinogenic trips that they'd taken, they saw 500 suns.
Yeah, probably that LSD that the Army gave them.
Exactly. Anyway, in honor of the anniversary, Life.com has published a series of bomb test photos. Boo-hoo! That are both frightening and beautiful. I saw one of them. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, you try to print it off, they're going to let it. I told you you're going to steal it.
I'm not looking to steal it, man. I wanted to put it on my website.
They're not going to let you do that, man. They don't do that no more.
Well, one of them was a riot. It was a picture of a guy and a woman and a general. And obviously she was the general's wife. And there's some guy with a smile on his kisser, and he's in a suit. And I don't know who they were, but they're ready to cut a cake. And it's a cake with a mushroom cloud cake formation on it.
What was that for? Probably the birthday of the A-bomb.
Yeah, it was the A-bomb's birthday, man.
You know, wasn't that a mushroom cloud on it?
Yeah, they made part of the cake look like a mushroom cloud. And so there they are, this general and the wife, and they're cutting this cake. Today it would be seen as a bad joke. Today, you'd get fired if you did something like that today. But back then it was, hey, look at this, man, let's cut this A-bomb cake. So anyway, Life.com's got these pictures, huh? And you can check out the images below. Now, they're showing a picture here, and these were some of the early images that I saw as a kid of the houses getting blown over and the whole, you know, the windstorm thing.
Yeah, they had one I'd seen where the ships. Which one was the ships?
Oh, that one was great.
What?
That one was very interesting. What they did was, it might have been this one. It might have been this Bikini Atoll bomb. They parked a bunch of junked battleships and old ships from the U.S. Navy, they parked them all out around this atoll. I may be wrong. If it's this one, it was another one. And then they parked those ships there, and they wanted to see what the damage would be to these ships. And they dropped the bomb. And you see the vapor cloud as it is beginning to expand out from the very base of the explosion. And obviously there's enormous waves that have been generated by it, too. And you see this thing just consume, as well as the waves, these ships looking like little bobbing toys. And it's just amazing. I mean, it would be frightening to be on one of those ships and see this coming at you. But now here's the interesting story. When the cloud dissipated and when the explosion finally dissipated, I believe like half of the ships were still afloat.
What?
Yeah. So the waves did not capsize them, and the power of the blast did not split the hulls apart or do anything to damage or deteriorate the structures at all. I think about half of them, it might have been more, that were still floating. So essentially, these ships withstood the wind from the blast, withstood the waves from the blast, withstood all this enormous explosive power, and were still floating.
So it was a dud.
So in a lot of ways, it was like they were disappointed because, what? You mean I could stick a ship out there and ain't even going
to... Well, I don't get that, man. If that's an atomic bomb, that'll blow that ship to pieces. Hell, ain't be nothing left of a ship.
Well, it didn't land right on the ship, you know.
What kind of bomb you got to drop on a ship? That's the stupidest A-bomb I ever heard about. You got to drop a bomb.
Well, you ain't going to drop an A-bomb on a ship. Okay, there's a bunch of ships out there.
Why not?
You ain't going to waste an atomic bomb on a ship. Hey, there's a ship. Let's drop an atomic bomb on it.
What are you talking about, man? There was nothing left of it.
But, I mean, what I'm talking... They didn't drop the bomb right on the ships. They had the ships purposefully out around the explosive center of the blast. Okay?
Yeah, I know. And then the waves came.
Then the waves came. And the explosive... the wind blast came. And these ships were not capsized. Now, obviously, they were drenched in radiation. But,
Other than that...
You know, hey, we can still use those ships, Dave. So it's a very interesting thing. And by the way, Life.com has these photographs of what, Bud?
Well, it's almost like you like atom bombs and everything. It's kind of scary.
No, I don't like atom bombs. Why do you say that?
Well, you want everybody to look at it.
Because it's very interesting photography, man. It's a, you have to admit, those are take your breath away in an atomic bomb explosion. It's a, it's just a frightening thing. Start crying about it.
I know y'all going to be crying.
It's just scary.
Oh, cut it out. You can check out the images below, meaning this one house that's coming apart, bud. Here, look at it. Look at it.
Get out of here.
Look at it. Yeah. Anyway, not just the fireballs and explosions, but also the bomb's impact on test houses and mannequins. Man, I bet you peel the face off a mannequin.
Oh, no doubt, man. There wouldn't be no mannequin head left.
Except if those ships didn't, you know. What do you think, bud?
Shut up!
I think it'd peel the kisser right off a mannequin. All right, we'll be right back. Bud's flipping out here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, philhendryshow.com. Guess what movie? I wouldn't exactly say it stiffed, but you guys were looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. It didn't stiff, but it was like, huh? You know it's going to do a lot less money than its predecessor. I'll give you a hint. You'll never guess, though. Johnny Depp. Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Just sailing along here on a Friday night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, now Saturday morning, and our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of Phil TV right now. Watch us as we sit here on the sands of the El Pacifico. Speaking of the roiling surf, the high seas, Pirates of the Caribbean, the new 3D Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, has opened to a soft open, what they call a soft open. And what does that mean? It didn't make as much money as the one that came out a few years ago, which was At World's End. At World's End, that was, I forget the year right now, I'll find it for you, but that was the one that preceded this, and probably, no doubt, was in 2007, Jace? So that was just prior to the recession. But here's the thing. Recession, people, the entertainment business is pretty well recession-proof. I think, as we were talking during the break, people are just bored to tears with Johnny Depp and the whole Pirates of the Caribbean thing.
I ain't bitching.
You like the ride, man, you know.
Yeah, you like the ride. You like the movie.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Disney's 3D Pirates of the Caribbean on Strange Tides is off to a softer start in North America than overseas, playing the overall downturn. And the fact that it's been 4 years since the last installment in the blockbuster franchise played on a big screen. Judging by Friday matinees, boy, they got this dead on, too, because this was 9:40 Eastern time, and they were predicting from the Friday matinees, they said by the end of the business day today, or yesterday, I should say, Friday night, they would do around the mid-30s. And I just got the word from our friend, Mr. Rance, our producer. He said the word is out, 11:30 Pacific, they made $36 million, which is behind the number that they did in 2007. They won't make $100 million. That'll put them way behind $114 million. There's going to be a whole lot of people killing themselves.
Yeah, and it won't be because of rapture, neither.
No, they ain't going to kill themselves. It's, I guess guys lose their jobs over stuff like this.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. They got way a lot more of them movies playing.
Well, let them plan them. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be movies like this do good in the rental. This is all DVD, baby. I don't even know why they bother us. I don't know why it is. Just when I get caught up with the math on this thing, just when I think I'm a brain surgeon and I understand the ins and outs of Hollywood, they're going to come along and tell me what I knew they're going to tell me anyway. Oh, we don't give a damn, man, about these open. You know, it's called, we're going to get it back with the DVD sales. We'll get it back with the rentals. We'll get it back. We'll get it back. Not your back, but we'll get our back. So there you go, baby. Overseas is a different story, though, where they'll buy any garb. I mean, where they really like American movies. Overseas, a different story. On Strange Tides is off to a dazzling start, grossing $44.2 million on Wednesday and Thursday as it rolled out in its first 37 territories, 10% ahead of At World's End. Foreign box office observers say on Strange Tides films should open north of $150 million internationally and as high as $200 million. Open $200 million. Wow. on strike. Of course, that's in more countries than just America. So why do you think that is, that foreign countries really go in for that stuff?
Well, I know that they like Conan Barbarian, and they like a lot of those movies. They like a lot of American action movies.
Yeah. How come that is?
Well, they like American action movies because they don't speak English, so they can watch stuff blow up. We blow stuff up better than anybody, man. You ought to know that by now.
Well, that's true.
So we come out with a movie with stuff blowing up, man. We blow it up. They don't speak any English. They don't give a crap what the plot's about. They just like to see Arnold with his, big chest or some other action star riding around on a motorcycle or in a spaceship or something, blowing the hell out of something, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah. And that they don't need a lingo.
Yeah, what do you mean English?
Yeah, they don't need to know no English lingo. And they don't, and they don't care, and that's fine with us. Other news, lifeguards' high pay riles California beach city. So while, these guys are blowing up the world and making less south of $100 million, the lifeguards here in the city of Los Angeles and its environs are making nice bread. For you guys listening in other parts of the country, get a load of this. And don't think it's anything we're happy about. We got lifeguards around here, and I shouldn't say we. This is a county-by-county thing. This is in Orange County, which is well south of us. There's some guys down there that are lifeguards making 200 G's a year.
No.
Yeah. Aurora Toussaint brings her disabled son to the sun-kissed beaches of this Southern California city, Newport Beach, almost every day in the summer, knowing that the lifeguards who watch from their towers will be there in seconds should anything go wrong. Yet Toussaint was shocked to learn that most of the full-time lifeguards in the city earn well over $100,000 in total compensation a year, including salary, overtime, and benefits, more than Toussaint made in her previous life as a nurse, and more than she believes is right in an economy where pink slips have become common fare. When I first heard that, I was amazed at how much they make. To think that these are lifeguards, that's more than some doctors make. Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, how do you know?
Come on. Well, maybe it is. Anyway, that's the kind of reaction Newport Beach's 13-member full-time lifeguard crew has drawn this month, since the local newspaper editorialized about lifeguard salaries, benefits, and overtime pay that at least two instances top $200,000 a year as a city struggles to rein in pension costs. All the cities are. Now, Newport Beach is a wealthy community. There's a lot of bread there. I don't know if it's West Palm Beach bread. It's close. I don't know if it's Beverly Hills bread. It's close. It's good. It's Southern California beach money in a very built up and high end community, and the lifeguards making 200 grand a year. Not all of them. I mean, that's the top pay of a lifeguard chief. Base salaries for the Newport Beach lifeguards range from $58,000 for the lowest paid officer to $108,000 for a battalion chief, according to the 2010 city report. And then they get compensation, overtime, and all kinds of jazz. So people are flipping out on that one, huh?
Yeah, but you figure that their lifeguards in California are better looking and everything.
So?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, if you come to California, go to the beach, you're going to see a lifeguard that looks like he belongs there, not some, like a hunchback.
What town got a hunchback for a lifeguard?
Where?
They probably got hunchbacks in like Georgia beaches.
Yeah, that's right, bud. They've got hunchback lifeguards in Georgia.
Well, I'm just saying, they don't have movie star-looking guys.
Are you telling me the reason why these cats are getting paid good is they look like movie stars?
What's that? What sense does that make? What if a movie star come out and save your ass and you drown, but the guy looks like Brad Pitt?
Well, he looks like Brad Pitt, and so the tourists are happy.
Great, while you drown. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show. That's nuts. Back here in just a moment with more, including a wrestler known as the Macho Man is no more. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Randy Savage.
Yes, yes, yes.
Phil Henry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Phil TV and HD is there. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry, on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. We're on...
That's it.
Okay, that's it. 877-876-PHIL is the number you can reach us at during our character and guest and interview hours, but right now... We're doing our news and commentary, so where were we? Oh, you want to do... Go ahead, bud. Do your impression. Oh, man.
Brother.
Yeah, here, this is my impression of Macho Man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's better than you.
Well, man, I didn't even try to do a Randy Savage. I'd do better than that.
Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan. That sucks.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's better than... Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. God, have a little respect, dude.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Man passed on today.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, get out of here with your cheesoid impression. What we're talking about here, folks, and don't touch the mic pot, bud, because you just made it go up and my ears were almost exploded. Randy Macho Man Savage, the professional wrestler known with his raspy voice, the sunglasses and the bandanas that he wore in the ring, and the young woman named Miss Elizabeth, who often accompanied him, he died in a car crash on Friday in Florida. He was my age, 58 years old. How do you like that?
Yeah, look at the good shape he was in, too.
Man, 58 years old, a Florida Highway Patrol crash report said the former wrestler, whose legal name was Randy Mario Poffo, was driving a Jeep Wrangler when he lost control in Pinellas County around 9:25 in the morning. The Jeep veered over the raised concrete medium divider, crossed over the eastbound lanes, and crashed head-on into a tree. Now, police have speculated that Mr. Poffo, Randy Macho Man Savage, might have suffered a medical event before the accident.
What's that?
He could have had, like, a heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think about it, the dude just suddenly is like going across a median, across these traffic lanes, and like bang into a tree. It might have been a heart attack or something, a stroke of some kind. They won't know until they perform an autopsy. The report said a woman in the vehicle, identified as his wife, Barbara L. Poffo, she's 56, suffered minor injuries. A statement from Stamford, Connecticut-based World Wrestling Entertainment said the passenger was the wrestler's current wife. Both were wearing their seatbelts, according to the police report. According to the statement, Poffo will be greatly missed by WWE and his fans. Savage was a charismatic wrestler made famous for his Macho Man nickname and his "Oh yeah" catchphrase that you've heard Bud and me and Robert Butcher.
Hogan.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's close.
He ain't going to, "Oh yeah, Hogan."
Well, him and Hogan was enemies.
He and Hogan were enemies. There was one point when they became friends. You remember that one?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, he and Hulk Hogan were like arch enemies. And Hogan beat Randy Savage. Well, I forget which one. I think they beat each other for the world wrestling title. But at one point they went, Randy Savage was a good guy and teamed up with Hogan. I forget for what, though. Savage was a charismatic wrestler made famous by his Macho Man nickname and his "Oh yeah" catchphrase. He was a champion in Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Federation and later Ted Turner's now defunct World Championship Wrestling. Poffo was under contract with WWE from 1985 to 1993 and held both the WWE and the Intercontinental Championships. WWE, by the way, is what WWF became. World Wrestling Federation, they had to change their name because of the World Wildlife Fund.
They said they owned that?
Yeah, the World Wildlife Fund said that WWF was technically, they'd been known as WWF longer, so that's what they did. So he had the Intercontinental belt and the WWE belt. Our sincerest condolences go out to his family and friends. We wish a speedy recovery to his wife, said the WWE. Savage defined the larger-than-life personalities of the 1980s World Wrestling Federation, now WWE. He wore sequined robes bejeweled with Macho Man on the back, rainbow-colored cowboy hats and oversized sunglasses, part of a unique look that helped build the WWF into the mainstream phenomenon that it became. For most of his career, his valet, Miss Elizabeth, was by his side. Is that what she was, a valet?
Well, I mean, like, I thought she was his coach.
What do you mean his coach? I'm sure she's his coach.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, I don't know if they ever said she was his coach. But like her I always thought she was like an advisor or something.
Well, hey, she can be an advisor.
Oh, wow, man. Maybe a brain surgeon going to help you, huh?
I'm saying. Maybe it, I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know, so shut up, okay?
Yeah.
You too. So she was his valet, if that's what they're calling her. I don't know what that is. She held his cape? You know?
Yeah, she checked his cape.
Anyway, she was by his side. They later divorced. She was married to him. Elizabeth Hewlett was her name. I remember Miss Elizabeth. She was very pretty, you know?
Yeah, she was very pretty. She had that long, like a shiny dress and everything.
Yeah, it had a lot of diamonds on it.
Right, and so anyway, she was with him. Her name was Elizabeth Hewlett. She was his real-life wife at the time. But they later divorced, and Hewlett died in 2003. She died at the age of 42 in what was later ruled a prescription drug overdose. Wow. She was among many performers in the sport to die young. They made that note in the story, and it's interesting because of there's been a lot of tragedy in professional wrestling, not in terms of murder or violence, although maybe there's been that, but there's been a lot of, you know, the steroid thing, that guy that killed his family, dudes that just got into accidents and stuff, you know, a lot of them. Others include Carl Mr. Perfect Hennig. I remember that guy. He died of a cocaine overdose in 2003 at the age of 44. And Chris Benoit, here it is, who killed his wife and son and then committed suicide in their Georgia home in 2007. Benoit was 40. That cat, they said that was steroids, right?
Yeah, they said the steroids drove him mad and everything like that.
The WWF made Savage their champion after a win over, I love this guy, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, yeah, in the main event at WrestleMania in 1988. That's the one I remember seeing. That's the one. And then the next year, Hogan won. Savage had not appeared for a major wrestling organization since 2004 when he performed for Total Nonstop Action. He was at times both the most popular and most hated wrestler in entertainment. His flying elbow off the top rope was mimicked by basement and backyard wrestlers everywhere. Savage made good use of his deep, raspy voice as a corporate pitchman as well, for years ordering Slim Jim fans to snap into a Slim Jim. You remember that?
Yeah, man, those are great commercials.
Snapping. And then he's most known for his legendary rivalries with Hulk Hogan, Ricky Steamboat, and Ric Flair, wrestlers took to Twitter to let fans know Savage won't be forgotten. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I've seen another one, or Dusty Rhodes said something, and a couple other ones, too. Dwayne The Rock.
Yeah, and Cactus Jack, too.
Cactus Jack? I met Cactus Jack in Atlanta. Big guy. Huge guy, like 6'5 or 6'6. Anyway, I'm not really a wrestling fan. I guess people think that I am, huh?
Yeah, you sound kind of like a redneck.
Yeah, you do.
Well, what do you guys sound like? You know all about these guys, too. Anyway, there's probably five or six of us with Andre the Giant and Hogan, and thankfully myself and Flair, that when their names pop up, even if you're not a fan, you know who in the hell these people are, said former wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes. You say, I know this guy. I know Macho Man Randy Savage. He was part of that breed. We lost a good one. Dwayne The Rock Johnson hailed Savage as one of his childhood inspirations and heroes, while Mick Cactus Jack Foley called Savage one of my favorite performers. Hogan said he and Savage had just started talking again after 10 years. He had so much life in his eyes and in his spirit. I just pray that he's happy and in a better place, and we miss him, Hogan said. While so many personalities who left the WWF to WCW, like Hogan, Roddy Piper, and Mean Gene Okerlund, were welcomed back to the company and even inducted into the Hall of Fame, Savage never returned. Rhodes said Savage had prudently saved his money and was content to remain out of the spotlight. He was a recluse, almost, said Rhodes by telephone. Whatever he was doing, he wanted that privacy. Yeah, he was out of the picture for 10 years, but he didn't want it to be in the picture. Savage was a minor league catcher in the 1970s for St. Louis and Cincinnati before turning in his uniform for his tights.
His tights. His tights.
Ow! Shut up.
Hey, man, have some respect.
Yeah, before turning in his uniform for his tights, his father, Angelo Poffo, was a longtime wrestler, and his brother, Leaping Lanny Poffo. Dude, I know who that name. was also a 1980s WWF mainstay. Condolences from fans poured in to Lanny Poffo's Facebook page on Friday. There it is, man. I know we took a little bit of time on that, but it's funny about wrestling because while it's an entertainment product, it is not a sport. It's still a fascinating entertainment exhibition, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, man, because a lot of those moves, those guys do those pretty heavy moves.
Yeah, it's an exhibition of not really wrestling moves, because those aren't wrestling moves. They're like professional wrestling moves, if you want to give them a name. But there's certainly nothing that you learn in the college game, you know?
Yeah, I seen college wrestling one time, and then I seen it in Olympics. It's not even anywhere near as good as the one as a WWE.
Well, all right, but I mean, what the point I'm making here is the WWE, WWF, all that stuff was an exhibition of athleticism as well as theater. It had classic good guys, and still does, good guys and bad guys, and all of those marvelous supersonic and superhero personalities that we love. And I think one of the things that was fun about it was that it must have been a gas for those guys to create a lot of these characters, you know?
Yeah, I saw one time. I love the Junkyard Dog, man.
Yeah, they had a Junkyard Dog, and they had Bad News Brown.
Yeah, Junkyard Dog, Bad News Brown. They had the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah, that guy was an idiot.
Why'd he say that?
Because I heard him talk one time. He's all stupid.
the Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, what did he sound like, man?
He's all like, yeah, I'm the Ultimate Warrior, and I are powerful.
He did not.
Yeah, he did.
The Ultimate Warrior was an idiot. Anyway, so it's great theater. I think you grow out of it a little bit. The older you get, okay, great. I've been there, done that. I remember, do you remember those two idiots they had, the Bushwhackers?
Man, those guys were stupid. You talk about dumb.
The Bushwhackers. And then that other clown with the 2x4.
Yeah, that's Jim Hacksaw Duggan. He's an idiot. He probably took the 2x4 off his head.
Yeah, all of those guys. All right. So Randy Macho Man Savage, dead at the age of 58 in an automobile accident yesterday in Florida, although autopsy results obviously will determine if there was any other predetermining factor. And like I said, the Florida Highway Patrol speculated that there might have been a medical event that caused the car to go out of control. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back for our final segment. Don't forget, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, we have our KFI, our local Los Angeles show, and you can join us for that one online at philhenryshow.com. When we come back, we'll clean up some other news here. They got some treatment for paralyzed people, and a dude with a completely paralyzed guy stood up today and took a few steps. I don't know what this treatment is, but it's insane. We'll talk about that and some other news when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, what is Tweetgate? Comcast Tweetgate? We'll find out.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I don't know. I'm going to try to communicate this to you guys. And again, I got sucked in. I love the headline. Comcast Tweetgate apology thrown back in face. In January of this year, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission voted to approve Comcast's $6.5 billion deal to acquire NBC Universal. One of the more pro-deal commissioners was Meredith Baker. On May 11th, Baker announced that she would resign from the FCC and join Comcast as the government affairs liaison for the NBC Universal Division, lobbying the same government she just resigned from. Now I remember that story.
Yeah, you're all pissed off about it.
I wasn't pissed off. I remember I just said, well, ain't that typical? Ain't that typical? This stuff happens all the time. Did they think this is unique? This stuff happens all the time. On May 12th, an employee of the Seattle, Washington nonprofit Real Girls, which empowers young women from diverse communities by teaching them filmmaking, tweeted the following thing. OMG, oh my God, at the FCC, Commissioner Baker voted to approve Comcast-NBC merger and is now lobbying FCC for a job at Comcast. On May 13th, Comcast Vice President Steve Kipp emailed Real Girls and told them that because of that tweet, his company was withdrawing $18,000 worth of grant money that had been pledged in support of the nonprofit filmmaking summer camp. Given the fact that Comcast has been a major supporter of Real Girls for several years, I'm frankly shocked that your organization is slamming us on Twitter. Never mind that what they said was essentially true, that this woman had left the FCC, is now joining, did she join the FCC? I don't know which came first. She left the FCC and joined NBC, so what they said was true. And now the guy is pulling the money back. Then, between Kipp's email and this Thursday, a firestorm of criticism erupted against Comcast with articles appearing in the Washington Post, Tech Dirt, and elsewhere. On Thursday, Comcast said that cutting Real Girls funding was wrong, that Kipp was acting beyond his responsibilities, and that they would reinstate the $18,000. On Friday, Real Girls rejected Comcast's offer to reinstate the grant. Their spokeswoman, Teresa Mosier, encouraged the communications giant to craft a corporate policy that clearly defends freedom of expression in order to ensure that this situation does not arise again. No one has covered themselves with glory in this sad, sloppy saga. Not Baker for pulling her unsurprising but still depressing revolving door switch, leaving the FCC to join NBC, Comcast, Universal, blah, 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 blah. Not Kipp for expecting that a corporate donation carries with it an edict against criticism, taking back the $18,000 that he gave to Real Girls. And not Mosier, who is with Real Girls, for her high and mighty your money is dirty feel-good stance, firing cheap shots at Comcast rather than taking the high road and using the $18,000 to help those young women who benefit from her organization's services. The tug of war between corporate philanthropists and their nonprofit beneficiaries has a long history of struggle and redefinition. When your humble reporter, whoever this is, was a nonprofit fundraiser back in the 1980s, for example, such a profit, for-profit, nonprofit partnerships were tagged with the rather explicit moniker of cause-related marketing, a term that's now out of favor in the more delicate days. Well, anyway, I think the essential story is here. I don't give a crap what this guy's opinion is. The essential story here was that something happens that happens a lot, and that is there's this cross-pollination between the broadcast business and the FCC. We have now an FCC commissioner who is a former radio station owner in the Northwest by way of being a congressman. Now we have this, somebody leaving the FCC and joining the broadcast business, and people seem to think that this is this can happen. And there isn't any kind of collusion going on. There isn't any back-scratching going on. And probably people would say, well, Phil, why do you care? It's your industry if they benefit. No, I don't benefit. That's what you don't get. I don't benefit. Talent doesn't benefit. Those of us, you have never seen an industry before in your life where the people that are actually on the microphone, me, have nothing whatsoever to do with deriving any benefit from the dealings that broadcasters have with the FCC. I don't get any benefit from this. The guys that are lining their pockets are the CEOs and the owners and the FCC commissioners, which I've said many times. I don't doubt for a minute they're not getting paid off. I think there's a lot of money passing hands. But now, on top of that, when a group of kids who work with a nonprofit to help young ladies become filmmakers tweet a comment which is basically the truth, saying, wow, real revolving door act there. How in hell can you possibly be objective or objectively deal on behalf of a company or on behalf of an industry? You used to be in the FCC. Now you're working for NBC. What's going on there? When they tweeted that, they got their grant money pulled back from that company. Meaning, when you give grant money to a charity, it's basically advertising for your company. And so the people need to shut up and toe the line. Well, these are filmmakers. How do they do that? All right. We'll be back Monday here on our national show. And coming up tonight on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is John Elk, and our associate producer has been Dan Northcraft. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, also online at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.